Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, our interview with Jack Edwards is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is the man himself, Jack Edwards. Jack, I want to start. I know there's a lot of team building things going on right now in the offseason, but I want to start with Game 7 because we haven't talked to you since. It wasn't a 5-1, 5-2 game that got away from them, but they go down 3-2. Did they just lose to a better team?
Yeah. In a word, yeah. We can X and O them to death, but the fact remains Carolina was better man for man, and as a team, the Bruins couldn't get much going against them on the road. They lost to a better team, and they've got a lot of work to do in the off season if they hope to get better for next year.
So, Jack, a lot of housekeeping right now since the season's officially over, right? And so we were just discussing this Cam Neely sound when he referenced Bruce Cassidy, says that he likes him as a coach, but he needs to make some changes, referring to Bruce Cassidy. Now, do you think that's more of how he handles the team with his press conferences and, like, kind of, you know, calling out guys, or is it his basic approach towards calling a game in real time?
You know, reading between the lines of Cam's quote, it seems as if he has a problem with the way Bruce goes public with his criticism, especially of young players and benching young players during games. But the specific question was about the treatment of Trent Frederick, or I should say the specific answer. And the Bruins were in a Game 7 situation, and they were playing for their hockey lives. And you got to trust the coach to do what's right and try to pull out a victory at that point. Trent Frederick didn't do his perception of hockey IQ any favors in this series. He's a really enthusiastic, physical player who has somewhat of a scoring touch, not great, but he's there to create energy and hit people and, you know, hit people legally. And he let it get out of control a couple of times at crucial moments, and his puck management was not good. And Bruce was looking for something from somebody else who would do a better job when the team was fighting for its life. So, I respect Cam's judgment, obviously, but I think that Bruce Cassidy, his record shows that he's as good a coach as could be expected with the personnel that's currently on the roster.
So if that is the issue, obviously his record shows that he's a very effective coach with this team, but if that is a major issue, maybe coming from the locker room and the younger guys in the locker room, is that enough to make a coaching change there?
In my opinion, no. But they might shake up the assistant coaching staff. And I don't know if it will do any good. The biggest problem the Bruins face, in my personal opinion, is a lack of pressure from Providence on the varsity roster. And that was really strong during the Claude Julien power years, and you had quality players in Providence who couldn't crack the lineup because they were deep, they were strong, and the league has made a transition to speed and skill, and Carolina is deep in that manner, as you probably saw two nights ago in the third period when they finally found their game against the Rangers and just dominated down the stretch and pulled it out in overtime. And the Bruins have to get younger, faster, and more skilled. And that's going to necessitate some deals in the offseason, whether they be free agents and or trades, because other than Fabian Lysell, there's not much down on the farm.
We're talking to Jack Edwards here of Nesson. And Jack, another one, Cam Neely, talking about Don Sweeney and why he waited. He wanted to see how the year played out. He mentioned that he loved what he did at the trade deadline. You called that Hampus Lindholm deal a tremendous deal, especially locking him up long term. Did that deal for Lindholm save Don Sweeney's job?
You know, I was thinking about the core of the team going forward. They're really set in goal. I think Jeremy Swayman is going to be at least a very good, maybe great NHL goaltender. If the Bruins get out of Linus Ullmark what he did for them in the second half of the season, he's part of the core also. Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm are a great first pair. Matt Grzelcyk, it's going to be hard to deal him in the offseason because he's going to miss the beginning of the 2023 season. He's scheduled for surgery on his shoulder, and that's a long rehab. Brandon Carlo is on a long-term contract, so he's part of the core up front. Bergeron, if he wants to be back, Marchand, Pastrnak, and Taylor Hall, and Charlie Coyle. And that's about it. And Don Sweeney has a lot of work to do to beef up this roster. So, yeah, maybe the acquisition of Lindholm, which was a great acquisition, gives him wiggle room. But the record in drafting has not been good. You know, they've done well in second and third rounds consistently in the last 5 to 8 years, but the first rounders are, you know, they're underperforming other than McAvoy and Pastrnak, and many of them have found other homes.
All right, so we're talking to Jack Edwards. And last one for me, Jack. So the other storyline of this offseason is obviously going to be Bergeron. We don't know what's going to happen. Let's just assume if he does retire, what would be the best move to make for the Bruins to realistically, you know, replace him?
You know, there aren't many free agent centers that can step into the Bruins lineup. And the agents for the free agents know that, and they're going to charge premium price and premium term. So Bergeron is making a shade less than $7 million a year against the cap, and it'll cost the Bruins upwards of $7 million, I think, for 7 years to land a top six center. And Vincent Trocheck is available on July 13th if The Carolina Hurricanes don't sign him. But other than that, I don't know what center could come in and hope to fill at least 90% of Bergeron's shoes. He's a unique player. He's the odds-on favorite to win his fifth, which would be a record. Selke Trophy is the best defensive forward in the NHL. He's been nominated for 11 straight years. He's been in the top five for 13 straight, I think. And, you know, that's unprecedented. When a guy like that walks away, if he walks away, that's a hole you cannot possibly fill. And it would be crisis mode for the Bruins if they did not replace that position with a really high-quality player.
So, Jack, I had to ask you, in your personal opinion, do you think Patrice Bergeron will retire after this season? This season that just wrapped, I want to clarify.
Yeah. Mego, I had the feeling that he would come back in the last month of the season because he was playing at such a high level and leading the team so well. His behavior in the aftermath of Game 7 makes me take a pause because he's always been about we, not about me. And the biggest we in his life is his family, not the Boston Bruins. And let's not forget October of 2007, when I honestly thought when Don Del Negro cut his visor off his helmet and he was lying down behind the goal line after taking that Randy Jones hit, I thought Patrice Bergeron was dying in front of our eyes. And you know, he's got three young children, and those are the most important people along with Stephanie in his life. And I think he's going to make a difficult call, and I'm leaning toward him retiring right now, but it might have been just his body language at the disappointment of getting eliminated in Game 7. So I hope I'm misreading this situation.
All right, Jack, well, we'll wait and see how that decision comes down, and we'll figure that one out. But listen, we appreciate you spending the time with us this year. Really enjoyed it every single Thursday talking to you. I'm sure Brick has already got about 10 rounds of golf in, so enjoy your offseason.
Oh, yeah.
And looking forward to talking to you again, pal.
Hey, it's been a blast, and I have treasured every moment with you guys.
All right, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Right.
Thanks, Jack.
That's Jack Edwards. Appreciate it. All right, listen, when we come back, I do want to dive into this because there's an all-out war going on in college football, and it's fantastic. A lot of unwritten rules are being broken by two of the more popular coaches in the SEC. One of them, Bill Belichick's buddy. You'll hear it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guy, you got anything to say for yourself?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
All right, Thursday edition of Big Deal, No Big Deal. Losing your hair, kind of a big deal. Treating it with Dr. LaPresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, not a big deal. Call them up now at 1-800-GET-HAIR. All right, so we all know about the SEC, the Southeastern Conference. That's where most NFL, pros are coming out of nowadays. And you also have heard of something called an NIL. Have you heard of an NIL, Mego? Like, they didn't have these when you were playing lacrosse.
No, I wasn't allowed to be like, this is my favorite kind of lemonade.
Yeah, no. So what an NIL is, which was approved just last summer, it's name, image, and likeness. It's just a term that describes the means through which college athletes are allowed to receive financial compensation. And it's also being used to lure recruits to these universities to play football. We did a big story a while ago, Lou, about the University of Texas paying each offensive lineman $100,000 to play football at the University of Texas while they are on scholarship. Which is completely legal. And we see all these deals going around. You hear about them all the time. Well, somebody doesn't like this. And that guy is Bill Belichick's good buddy, Nick Saban. Okay, so Nick Saban, he made these comments at an event in Birmingham, Alabama, in preparation for the 2022 World Games on Wednesday night. And here's what the Crimson Tide head coach had to say about Texas A&M's recruiting practices.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player.
So he also goes into the fact that he mentions Miami paying all their players. He mentions Deion Sanders and his team paying one guy $1 million.
That kid Hunter, the kid who transferred,
yeah,
he's like a stud.
Yeah, he played. So he just runs off a whole list of players and issues that he has with. A lot of dirty laundry being thrown out there by Nick Saban. Big deal or no big deal?
Yeah, it's a big deal because does anybody really believe that Alabama's not using NILs? Like, really? Does anybody believe that? Like, this is Alabama. Now, he's had the luxury of maybe being so good recently that he can kind of pick and choose which guy, it's like, come to Alabama. But he's not setting that. How did he get this luxury of having a great team? Did everybody just flock to him? Do you really believe that Nick Saban has never offered money or an NIL here, especially this year, to any of his players?
He
to get
does.
These guys
he has issued. They do have NILs at University of Alabama. But what his point is that he does it the right way. He's not taking advantage of the situation. What he's mad about is that Texas A&M is taking advantage of it.
It's legal. There is no taking advantage of it. You want to give a guy whatever the hell you want to get? This is the way it is now. He's just pissed off. Because other schools are going to come out of the woodwork right now, and they're going to steal his recruits that he was in such control of. He no longer has control, and now he is bitching about it.
A&M bought every player on their team.
I agree. And also, big deal, if you're from that recruiting class in Alabama, are you like, oh, great, okay, I'm so happy I'm here. Thanks, coach. Well, so glad you're happy to have us here, Like, I understand that it's a ranking system, and so they have the most highly vaunted class, but it's like, okay, hey, what about us?
Well, he doesn't like the fact that he feels that, like, the his stranglehold on college football as a whole and the SEC starting to lose it. because Texas A&M teams that couldn't compete against them, LSU. And for the record, they were all doing this before the NIL. This is the funny part about it.
Yeah.
So what Nick Saban is doing is basically calling out all these other coaches. He's calling up Miami. He's calling out Deion Sanders. And he's also calling out Jimbo Fisher, who is the head coach of Texas A&M. Well, Jimbo Fisher did not like this. Jimbo Fisher was also on Nick Saban's staff. So he knows exactly how Nick Saban works. He was able to speak today, and he was not happy about it.
It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. It's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been.
Ooh.
You can find out anything. And it's a shame. You got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families. Ooh. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past.
Ooh.
Or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out. What he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Questions?
A couple of things, Jimbo. First of all, have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he showed you who he is.
And then I just wanted to...
He's the greatest ever, huh?
Ooh, he's the greatest ever, huh?
Mega, I'll let you go. Listen, so he called. This usually... The SEC has like an unwritten rule. Listen, we all know we're cheating, but we're not going to air anybody's
dirty
laundry.
We're going to be gentlemen about
this.
Yes,
exactly. That's Southern. That's Southerners. We're going to do it the right way.
I do it. You do it. We all do it. We don't talk about it. Okay, first of all, I got to talk about Jimbo. He sounds like he's on fast forward,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, he's
like
pissed.
He sounds like a Southern preacher on fast forward. Like, he thinks he's gone. He thinks he's done. And I'll tell you what, he's
bizarre.
Not the czar. He's not the czar of football. I know. you dig into his past. You're going to find something you don't like about that.
How God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know.
How God made his deal. See, this is beautiful.
This is great, right?
Because I'm with you. Because, you know, it's one of those things like, okay, we don't all talk about this. Oh, Nick, you want to bring it up?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Why don't you go talk, Nick? What he's talking about, digging things up. I can only assume that it's talk to other coaches. That there were shady ways of how they built their program.
NCAA.
Yeah.
How they
built their program and how he did it. He's a great coach. Yeah. How did he become a great coach? How did he get the best players in the world? Like, how does every single running back and wide receiver, how they have a talent that are better than some NFL teams? Go ask around and find out how he got his players. I think it's beautiful. I think Saban opened it up, and he's getting everything he deserves right now.
Yeah,
he's the greatest ever, huh?
How they all hate it. So here's the thing. We all knew this was happening. I remember when they actually passed this. We all knew that schools with a lot of money that weren't very good, like Texas. Okay, we always said that. Why doesn't Harvard do this? They have an endowment of like $1 billion.
They could have
an unbelievable team, football team, if they would just use some of that NIL
but
money,
Texas,
but they're not going to do it.
Texas, yeah.
So yeah. The fact is that here's what's happening now. Okay, all these former recruits and players for all these teams are all coming out now and telling their own personal story. This guy offered me $20,000. Alabama Nick Saban tried to get me to go to that school. I didn't go. I went somewhere else before the NIL. So it's out in the open now. It's open season on all college coaches, especially Nick Saban. Nobody's happy about it.
We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past.
Ooh. I'll tell you what. 17-year-olds and their families, they want to hawk tummy tea on the Instagram. And that's none of your business. If they want to sell tummy tea on the Instagram, they're going to be allowed to do that at Texas A&M. Go dig in his past.
I would say he was so hot that I just wanted a reporter to say, exactly what past are you talking about? Because he might have given it up. He might have been like, oh, listen, he bought plenty of people in his life. Talking about me buying people. He bought so-and-so with so-and-so.
Yeah,
and
name them.
We gave, when I was underneath him, we gave, it's just like the, what's it, blue chip? That
yes.
Movie. We gave him a
yes.
tractor.
Yes.
We gave his mom a home. He got a brand new caddy.
Got a job.
We gave money everywhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Champy, is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
I forget.
People in glass houses should not throw stones.
No. No. Oh, he's called.
Yeah, so Nick Saban is called, but Jimbo Fisher
October
is
8th.
Not giving music.
October 8th.
Is that when they play?
A&M beat them last year.
I know.
October 8th, A&M versus Bama. Mark it down. Oh, it's fantastic.
I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are.
Speak faster.
Believe them.
Are you
He's showing you who
up?
He is.
No, I had to double check.
Oh, jeez.
He should be an auctioneer.
Right?
Fantastic.
All right, well, when people show you who they are,
that's a big deal, no big deal, Lou.
Oh, I absolutely love it. That's beautiful. Good job. I like it. October 8th.
I know.
Check that game out. Let's stick with some football here because our friend Andy Hart, our boy, WEI.com, very interesting article about Bill Belichick and his involvement with this year's club. I just want to read it. It says, with longtime offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels having been moved to the Raiders, Belichick has an entirely new coaching staff on that side of the ball, while his defensive coaching staff remains intact for 2022. He's been working without a coordinator there since Brian Flores left for the Dolphins a few years ago. Forget slowing down. Belichick may be doing more than ever. Or might he transition to a more active role on the offensive side of the ball? Could he leave more of the defense to his veteran coaches like his son? I guess Steve's now a veteran. And respected former player linebacker Gerard Mayo. So here's the question. Like, Bill's always defense, right? Working with the defense, sitting in with the defense. Does he do that more with the offense this year now? Like, does Steve Belichick, Gerard Mayo, have they been around enough to where he says, guys, handle it? Or Maddie P. Yeah, coach, got my pencil. you deal with, you be me defensively. I need to work with this offense.
Which side of the ball needs the most guidance?
Offense.
Yeah. I feel like this is an excellent take by Andy because I don't think anyone's even brought it up. The fact is, are you willing to let, you know, Steve and Gerard just kind of do their own thing without any adult supervision? Are we sure? Because the one thing about the defense, especially with younger, even older coaches that were a first-time coordinator with Bill, you always knew you had the net. Hey, I'm going to call stack two, Y banana. No, okay. No. Don't call that. That's not the right call. You had him
I'm
there.
I'm going to call a quarterback sneak. No, yeah. It's third and nine, Joe. It's third and nine on our four. Don't call a quarterback sneak. What are you doing?
I do think this is, if you're trying to, you know, figure out where you need it most, as far as just guidance and decision making, it's on the offensive side of the ball. It is. And if we're going to follow the theme, Mego, as far as, hey, coaches are just coaches, Bill's never been an offensive coordinator. What does he know about offense? Well, I'd say being a really good defensive coordinator gives them, you know, the green light to do anything on the offense.
The other little clue there is his two buddies. I think definitely Matt Patricia, the person who's probably closest to him in this coaching system, maybe professionally closer than his family members are. And then you have Joe Judge, who he clearly brought back and is going to go along with what Bill Belichick says, most likely, because Bill's giving him the shot here. So he's not going to have anybody who is going to push back on him, right? If he's on that side of the ball and those are the two guys on that side of the ball. He doesn't have a Josh McDaniels who's been there, you know, for in his second stint, like 10 years, saying like, hey, yeah, no, that's not a good call. We're not going to try that, Bill. Like, it's not going to work. I know this. This is my thing. He's got his two buddies there.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. And obviously, I think that the offense needs more guidance. But deep down, can you think he can really sit back and just sort of watch the defense maybe underperform and be like, I'm sticking with the offense. No, I'm going to do it. You know, like, I don't think he can. Like, I don't. Like, I think it's going to be, I think he might think it, whatever, but I just think it's in him. Like, he's just defense. And I don't think, you know, this, so Steve Belichick, he's a veteran coach.
I mean, Gerard technically, Mayo's a veteran coach. He's a veteran. Hold on. You didn't say defensive coordinator. You said he is a veteran coach.
All I heard was blah, 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 Matt Ryan, blah, 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 mobility.
I'm saying it's a good idea, but deep down, I don't think Bill can keep himself away from the defense.
Well, and didn't
just
we?
Just who he is.
If you believe reports from last season, didn't we see that last season when they hit the middle of the season? I believe it was around the first time that they were playing the Jets. Some reports indicated that he went over to Steve and Gerard and was like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna have my hand in this for a couple games until you guys get steady, because the way that you're doing it right now is not working for me.
And then he stepped back. And they sucked?
Well, that's what some reports said. I think there were other things.
His ass. Yeah. Holy smokes.
And isn't
he had nothing to do with the defense things. When they sucked? When they were good, it was all Bill. And when they sucked again,
they
he stepped back?
They weren't my reports.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God.
You know, isn't it easy? You know, it's like, you know, the word is that, you know, Bill always has his hands in everything. And he does, you know, because he meets with the offense. He watches offensive tape with the offense. He watches defensive tape with the defense. He makes the defensive coaches watch the offensive plays. And he makes the offensive coaches call the defensive plays. Like, this has been going on for years, so much that the coaches used to bitch and complain because they couldn't get their own work done because they had to watch the defensive plays that they had nothing to do with now. So they had to take time out of their day to sit there and watch their practice. So I would say with Bill, it's easier for him to go back and forth when he really just has to go, you know, Josh McDaniels say, hey, do I have a go for launch? And Bill says, yes. That's it. Hey, you do I have a go for launch? Yeah, go. Like, he's not really, you know, hands-on. I feel like him being more hands-on with Mac, especially, that's where I think you see his impact is with Mac Jones. Not the offensive line. It's not the receivers. It's not the tight ends. It is Mac Jones. Because that's where you're going to be hurt the most if you let Joe Judge freaking control this situation.
So do you think that that's why Joe Judge answered? He said he wasn't being evasive. He has been working with Mac Jones, but he's not saying that, like, he is the quarterback coach, that he's the one on Mac Jones, that he's the offensive coordinator. We're not getting any names of that because Bill is the unnamed head of that corporation.
Bill is the unnamed source.
No. He's the unnamed, like, he's the head of that area.
He's the head of the family. He's Hyman Roth. He's really the head of the, you know, the mafia family, but nobody knows it because he acts like he's sick all the time and he has no control.
I think he has to have some control of this offense. But I just think deep down, if he sees what's going on defensively, it's like, well, is there a chance that he says, okay, Matty, I know you're like offensive line. Yeah, coach, I got my pencil. I also need you to work with my kid and Gerard. You were the defensive coordinator. Well, that wouldn't shock me one bit if he has Matt kind of working with these guys, offensive line, defense, and while Bill's kind of in control of an offense a little bit more.
You know what I'm waiting for?
I think eventually Bill can't handle himself.
So what about this setup? Like, Joe Judge is calling plays.
Oh, boy.
And then you have... It sounds like it. I'm just saying. Let's say this is the structure.
Yeah,
use the term that we're using so much.
Got a window.
Is there a pocket?
Right. So Joe Judge, he's calling plays.
Yep.
And then you got Matty P on the offensive line.
Yep.
And then Bill is roving quarterbacks coach?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess.
Hovering. Yeah. He's like Ken Laird.
Yeah.
He's like,
exactly.
In.
Him and Ken have a lot in common. He just hovers. He's always there. When he least, he's always co-signing on everything.
Isn't that more the best case scenario, though, then? Because, I mean, he has a relationship with Mac before. He knew Mac last season. It seemed like they have at least, if you judge by the sideline behavior, at least a congenial relationship.
No.
Mac makes him smile. Yeah.
I know that Brady used to meet with Bill all the time, like every Monday, and go over the whole game plan. Did we ask Mac that last year if he met with Bill? If we did, he probably didn't answer, so it doesn't even matter. But I believe that that's going to happen more frequently.
There's a good chance he didn't answer that question.
And I can tell you what, here's what I'm waiting to see. During a game, when something doesn't go right, the camera pans to Bill, and you can't hear what he's saying, but you're reading his lips, and it's real obvious what he's saying.
We suck.
Why the F are you calling that? Or why the F did you just call that? What the F is your problem? I do believe.
You think he's going to say that? Because that implicates back to him. This goes back to what we were talking about yesterday with Tom Curran's list of the Patriots with the most heat on them. And we were like, well, at the very end of the day, it all comes back to Bill because he's got his hand in every freaking cookie jar on this team.
Tyler? Christian, so you asked if Bill Belichick and Mac Jones had meetings. If we ever asked Mac Jones about meetings with the head coach... Here's what he said.
Mac, you know, for years, we've all heard as Patriot fans, you know, Tom Brady talk about these famous one-on-one meetings with Bill every week, whether it's Tuesdays or whatever it was, just sit down one-on-one, just talking football, going over the game plan. Do you have those with Bill, one-on-one sit-downs every week?
That's top secret information, so I think we obviously do meet with him and
What a stupid question, Maloney. How dare you ask him?
You hate the Patriots.
You guys pepper him. Why do you pepper him so much?
You're throwing softballs.
Questions.
You hate Bill. You think Bill's a jerk. You just want him to get fired.
Top secret information.
Top secret information. I think at one point we asked him like New Year's resolution. He thought it was like a birthday wish. He couldn't tell us.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
No, he didn't want to tell us that either.
What's your dog's name?
New Year's resolution. That was a very popular question. Remember, at the end of the Patriots season?
But like Thanksgiving, New Year's resolution, everybody asked these questions. Everyone's given answers. We asked him, and he's like, no.
It was like, what's your meal? What's your favorite like Thanksgiving meal?
Football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers.
Yeah, no, not right now.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. All right, thanks. I'll be over here. I'll be over here if you need me.
I can't wait for the season to start.
That was after a horrible loss.
Yeah, he lost his voice, right? Because he was yelling.
So there are many times in that press room when I've wanted to evaporate into thin air. Never like that before.
I cannot wait for the football season to start.
Oh, my God. I can't
I can't wait for the football season to start.
And you're trick-or-treating, and you get up to the door, and the candy that comes that you're like, yes.
Oh God!
What is that? What do we got? What's number one on the list?
That is the most loaded question I've ever got.
Not really.
candy.
Honestly, I have no clue. I have too many favorites to even go with like just anything chocolate.
That's all.
Or like Starburst sweet. I do it all, and
so all the candy.
It's whatever they have at the door. You know, you can't complain.
All right, fine.
That's there you go. You got all the answers. You know him so well. We know more about Mago in 2 weeks than we knew about Mac in an entire season. You realize that?
Yeah.
2 weeks, we know more about Mago than we do an entire season with Mac Jones.
Yeah. How many siblings do I have?
I know you have two.
Secretive.
Do you have two brothers?
I have a brother and a sister.
Damn it.
A brother and a sister? Are you the youngest?
Oh, come on. I'm so obviously the middle child.
Oh, you are? Okay.
It's complicated.
Can I ask you a question? Like, what was your favorite Christmas gift?
Yeah, it's a year I got a snowboard.
Really? Because this was Max.
So what did you get for Christmas? Anything that you got that you're kind of happy about?
Yeah, I mean, Christmas is great, and I got a new flashlight from my girlfriend.
Come on. A flashlight?
We're good. Flashlight.
Yeah. You stop.
Yeah, we got a flashlight.
Santa's awesome. Christmas is great.
Are we sure that's how he pronounced that?
Flashlight.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. We thought he said fleshlight.
That's what everybody...
Yeah, I mean, Christmas is great, and...
I got a flashlight.
All right, we come
dirty,
back. Listen, we're going to get the
pervert.
Celtics, get you ready for game one at the top of the hour. On the top of the hour. We're going to talk Celtics at the top of the hour. But I do want to get this here because I thought this was very, very interesting. We knew that the New England Patriots in the second round drafted Tyquan Thornton. He was the only wide receiver that the Patriots drafted. Or was he? Very interesting story about one of the other draft picks. We'll do it next.
Oh, my God, a new flashlight.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yankees just lost. Orioles walked them off.
I just looked up at the TV screen and the Orioles are dumping Gatorade on each other.
It's beautiful.
You hate to see it.
Give
Ebs. I do hate seeing it. All right, listen, as we mentioned, the Patriots drafted Tyquan Thornton in the second round, wide receiver out of Baylor.
Yeah.
He was the only wide receiver that was taken in this draft. However, they came back in the third round and drafted cornerback Marcus Jones out of Houston. Then they had Jack Jones, right? Another corner out of Arizona State.
The one that snuck into a Panda Express.
Right. But
that's the one I like.
Marcus Jones is the one that a lot of people...
He had the munchies.
This guy can return punts. He can still be like that kind of weapon.
Mr. Versatility.
Mr. Versatility is right. So the defensive coordinator, I believe it was, Doug Belk, he was on Phil Perry's podcast at the University of Houston, and he had this to say about one Marcus Jones.
I mean, if in packages, I think so. I mean, I don't know that he's not as good on offense as he is on defense. Because if you watch him when he catches an interception or he touches the ball on a punt return or kick return, like you almost have to hold your breath. He's that good with the ball in his hands. And he's even more hard to tackle than most offensive players that we play on a weekly basis based off his change of direction and balance and body control. And, you know, it's typically not one guy ever tackling him. Our head coach coached a couple Patriot legends and he coached Welker and Amendola, and he thinks that if Marcus played offense, that his skill set was as good or better than those guys. It's as far as getting in out of breaks, the quickness, the hand-eye coordination, knowing how to use his body as an offensive weapon, and if Marcus wasn't as valuable as he was to our defense, he probably would have taken even more offensive snaps. But we wanted to manage his body throughout the season.
Did they draft a slot receiver in this third round?
Interesting.
After an outside wide receiver in the second round.
That would be a really great grab, because as much as they want Jacoby to be the slot receiver, he doesn't have that quick twitch that Marcus Jones is supposed to have. And I know you're in need of cornerbacks, but it sounds like they're going to immediately, if they put him on the field, he'll probably most likely be in that punt return, kick return role, right? Kickoff return.
Yeah. Can you play? Is this like a new thing in sports? Can you have a two-way player? Can you have a guy that like kind
of? Well, I was going to say with those kinds of guys, or if you look at somebody like Edelman, that the slot receivers they've had in the past, they kind of put them through that path. And I wonder if they were trying to do it with Gunner before, a couple seasons ago, and realized he just never had the hands. But it's like, okay, you're returning. We trust you now. We're going to throw you out there and see how you do in these little schemes.
Yeah, that was interesting because you're talking about some legends, right? So, and I would say college football is filled with receivers that became cornerbacks that became receivers, quarterbacks that became tight ends, you know, all that stuff. But so you're going to compare him to Wes Welker. All right.
And Amendola.
All right, both Texas Tech guys, Red Raider guys.
Skill set was as good, if not better.
Yeah, so they release De'Eriq King, who is the quarterback out of the University of Miami, who they got as an undrafted free agent, and then they released him, who we all thought was going to kind of be like he'll be the next Julian Edelman. Well, he's slow, and he's not nearly as quick, and his hands aren't as good, so they release him. So I do believe that they're probably looking for someone who could – in a pinch do that, but he's not going to play slot receiver. Like that's just a testament to how, you know, athletic he is and how quick he is, and which are just as valuable as a cornerback as they are as a wide receiver.
No shot then?
Come on.
I say small shot. No, I said he's not going to play slot receiver. He's not going to be, you know, a slot receiver. He's not going to be Julian Edelman, who was the quarterback
three years from now, you don't think he's your slot receiver? There's no chance?
Zero chance.
Really?
Yeah.
Mark the tape.
I don't go there.
I don't get a boom?
I don't go there. I'm just saying, you're the
gambler.
Bill Belichick loves like flexibility, and he looks at this guy, and you know, if he shows up in camp, and next thing you know, he's like kind of uncoverable in the slot because he's 5'8", 5'9", little guy, and he's out there getting open left and right. And once you get the ball in his hands, he's electric.
What if other guys can't get open because he's electric on the defensive side? Like that is your need. You don't need any more wide receivers. You have too many of them.
That's why I said
you don't have any corners.
Yeah, but you need somebody who can pop in the slot. You got no pop slot.
In the slot.
You got no pop slot.
You got to lick it. You got to screw it.
Chew it.
Suck
chew
it. And then spit it out.
Yes.
And don't forget the slice of orange.
Slice of. Do you have one of those reads today?
No, hey, I don't.
Real quick, I want to get to this.
We actually have
an apology from one Nick Saban.
Really?
We interrupt Merlone and Fourier for this apology.
Why do we apologize to Boston sports fans or sports fans anyway? They should be apologizing to us.
Sorry to play through it.
Sorry.
I have boobs. Sorry.
I know, Danielle. I'm sorry.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Sorry, my microphone went out there, Coach.
I apologize.
We recorded an interview. I'm sorry. I'm going to do that again.
Sorry. But that's...
So Nick Saban went on XM radio, and this is what he had to say. Quote, I should have never singled anyone out. That was a mistake. I apologize for that. I wasn't saying anyone did anything illegal. That was something that was assumed. That wasn't what I meant or what I said. It's not illegal. It's the system that allows you to do it that I have a problem with. So he has a problem with the system. I wonder why he thinks like, well, something that it was just assumed by what I said. Like, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
you people just assumed it. You're the ones that made the mistake,
so
not me.
We just did this as big deal, no big deal. So Nick Saban goes out there at an event, and he just rips, like, Miami. He rips Deion Sanders.
A&M.
He rips Texas A&M. He's really ripping it, but he really took a shot at Jimbo Fisher, head coach
A&M
of Texas A&M.
A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right? We didn't buy one player.
Oh, stop.
So now, listen, what he was saying was really clear. So now he's going to sit there and say, you know what? My apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I don't like the system. He doesn't like the fact that Jimbo Fisher and these other coaches have now the playing field is now level.
Some people think they're God.
Yeah. And listen, Nick Saban, you're not God.
And you know what I have to say? Apologies. Not accepted. Okay. I'm not picking up the phone. I will see you outside if you want to, October 8th.
The reason why this guy has a problem with it is because he controlled recruiting. just because he was Alabama. He controlled it. He got the best of the best, which is the reason why every single year he remained on top. And now with these NILs, other teams are getting recruits that maybe he is accustomed to getting. He's not used to this. That's why he hates the system. It's more of an even playing field. You're not getting the best players in the country anymore, Nick. And that's why you hate it. That's it. And your team's not going to be as great as they have been in the past. Because now everyone's sort of spreading the wealth. All right, we got a big night tonight down in Miami. Game two. We'll give you some updates. What do we got? Asymptomatic Al is now available, Al.
Yep.
So he'll be out there. Marcus Smart, we believe, is now probable. Derek White is out. We'll address it all. It's coming up next on Marloni, Fourier, and Mego.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.